You're listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other items of Christian interest. Now, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, from the highways and byways, here is your host, Seth Dunn.
You're listening to The Christian Commute for Friday, December 23rd, and this is the penultimate episode of 2016. Just one more commuting day for me, December 30th. So enjoy this show. There's only two more for the rest of the year. And then, not going to be any for the whole first week of January. I'm going to an apologetics conference. Hey, would you like to study apologetics and hang out with the host of The Christian Commute along with a bunch of other people who are nerdy? Come on down to New Orleans to the Defend the Faith conference. It's like $120 or something like that. Usually have a good time there. We can come talk apologetics and theology. So if you are a listener in the New Orleans area, I encourage you to come to the Defend the Faith conference with me the first week of January, unless you're really athletic. Okay, so here's how it usually works out. I'm a nerd, guys. I have a theology podcast. I realize that, okay? I'm a nerd. I reference Star Trek on here. I talked about the Wrath of Khan. You guys listen, you know I'm a nerd. I have a degree in Management Information Systems. That's a nerd degree. Minor in Philosophy. That's a nerd subject. Okay. Accounting degree. It's another nerd subject. I'm a cost accountant. Okay. And then you look at all the different degrees you can get from the seminary. Apologetics is the nerdiest one. All right. I am a nerd. I own it, I accept it. But at the same time, I'm pretty athletic. So if you put me in a room full of nerds, I'm usually the fastest. I'm the best at throwing a ball and hitting a ball. So I usually feel really good about myself when I go to Defend the Faith conference. Because I'm down there, and I'm taller than everybody. I'm in better shape than everybody. Just stylistically, I'd like to think, I'm not dressed nicer in a more expensive way. I'm just dressed cooler, we'll say. So I get to be the coolest guy and most athletic guy in the room at the Defend the Faith conference. Except for one year, I went down there and Ben Watson was there. Ben Watson, who's an NFL tight end. I think he plays currently for the Ravens. He's on injured reserve, I think. But he was on the Saints at the time. He was a UGA grad like me. And I see him there, and he's walking by, and I'm like, where do I know that guy from? He doesn't look like he belongs here because he's, a walking muscle because he's an NFL player. And I'm like, oh, that's Ben Watson. So if you're more athletic than me, like Ben Watson, don't come. Let me feel good about myself for a week. But otherwise, join me at the Defend the Faith conference early in January. Let's hang out, show people. If anybody wants to come, send me an email. We'll meet up. Speaking of sending me an email, I have one response from the contest, the book contest. Guess which kind of steak I ate yesterday? And that guy got the answer wrong. So you can still win that contest if you submit your email to SethDunn88@gmail.com. It's Friday, which normally means that it's Finny Friday, but I'm just kind of exhausted. And it takes a lot of energy to come up with Finny Friday and do the bit. So I'm not going to do Finny Friday today, but don't forget that you can submit your own Finny Friday submissions. Today's show topic, oh goodness, it's trafficky. I'm going to Walmart right now to do Christmas shopping. Yeah, the Friday before Christmas. So you're on your way to Walmart with your host, Seth Dunn. I may pull up to the parking lot and say, I'm just not going to buy these people presents because I hate going to Walmart and I don't want to go to Walmart right now. And then my wife sent me a bunch of grocery lists out. I'm like, woman, you think I'm going to go grocery shopping at Walmart the day before Christmas? You're crazy. I'll have to go to Publix for that. Anyway, so no Finny Friday. Maybe a short show because Walmart's closer to my house. Walmart is closer to my work than my house. Anyway, I'll dispense. I'm Rabbit Trail City. Today's show topic is called, But Lost People Are Watching. but lost people are watching, and we'll get to that after we do today's Bible chapter review. We are still in 1 Corinthians 11, and we're in verses 11 through 16. We're continuing to discuss Paul's view on men and women and head coverings and the order of creation. All right. You will recall yesterday that we talked about women being under the authority of men and men being under the authority of God, and people living out their lives in their gender roles. But after Paul talks about, in verse 10, about women being needing to have a sign of authority, he goes on to say, he goes, oh, hold on, however, women and men are not independent of one another. Women and men are not independent of one another. And if you remember yesterday, we talked about how, biologically speaking, men come from women. But in the order of creation, women were created for men and from men. Women were created for a companion. And Paul recognizes that. He says, listen, man comes from God, and then woman comes from man, but then man comes from woman, because women bear children. What is he getting at? Everybody comes from God. Everybody's under God's authority. We need to do what is proper before God. So as far as head coverings go, Paul asks the Corinthians, remember, we're talking about head coverings in the sense of how does this fit into our gender roles? He asks, what is proper? He asks the Corinthians for they themselves to decide, asking him this question. What's the expectation? Well, the expectation for a man is to have his head uncovered. By that, you know, don't have long, effeminate hair like a woman. I remember that there was this guy, his name was Joel, he doesn't live in Cartersville anymore, and he was a musician, and he came to our church, and he had a record deal with the music pastor. This was a former church. He had a record deal with a music pastor, and because he had moved down to Georgia from up north. And he was a very gifted musician, very talented. I think he played everything. But he had just long, curly, girly hair. And he'd be up there on the elevated platform. Remember, it's not a stage. And I could remember him flicking his hair out of the way. And it was one of those things where, like, 1 Corinthians 11 is running wild in church. Why do we have this guy up there with girly hair? And it's one of those things that's like, is it really worth saying anything about? But let me tell you something. This has been my experience. That if a church is relaxed in its dress, not that you have to have fancy dress, I'm just talking about a culture of being relaxed in its dress. If it's relaxed in its dress, if it's relaxed in its theological insistence in songs, and what I'm getting at, that the songs sung have to be theologically sound and, you know, not a bunch of rock and roll and how he loves us Hillsong-ish stuff. So if you have a church with, you know, just a relaxed culture of how you dress and how you show up, very kind of informal, not in a low church type of way, because as a Baptist, I'm a low church, not a high church person. But if it's a very low church, very praise bandish, you're going to start seeing stuff like modesty in the First Corinthians sense. You're going to see that flouted. And I just want to bring that up. I'm not exegeting that out of the text. Right? I'm not trying to be a real hard fundamentalist. I'm just trying to tell you about my experience. I'll call it, church is kind of a holistic thing. You know, the Bible says if you break one of the Ten Commandments, you've broken all ten. I think James says, if you've fallen short in one part of the law, you've fallen short in all. It's not that a church has really solid preaching, but then it's going to have a very carnal culture in how people dress with regards to modesty, and then the music is going to be Hillsong-ish out of left field. I haven't found that. My observation is that When church people are modest in their dress and they take care to look nice, that the preaching is usually, the preaching gets to be exegetical and that the music gets to be better. better in the sense of it's not Hillsong prosperity gospel music. It's not shallow 7-Eleven song. Everything goes together. So I don't think it's wise, church members, to say, oh, you know, this 1 Corinthians 11 stuff is really hard. Do we really want to talk to somebody in our church about them dressing effeminately? You know, we're just glad they're there. You got to stop being just glad people are there. You got to start exercising church discipline, and not discipline in the sense of punishing people for sinning in a 1 Corinthians 5 or 6 sense of shunning people. I'm talking about church discipline in the sense of we want people to be disciplined and act a certain way, a biblical way. Gosh, the Corinthian church was like this, and they are undisciplined, and they got a letter. Would your church warrant a letter from Corinth? So I'm not talking abstractly about men with long hair, all right, or men who have their hair covered up in an effeminate way. I've lived that, and I've seen it, and let me tell you, it's not good. And the particular musician I brought up, in my opinion, I don't think he's in a very good spiritual place right now. I don't think he was then. And, you know, retrospect, I wish I had gone to him while I could have and said, hey, man, not get a haircut, but hey, man, how are you feeling? You know, what's your outlook on church? I sense you're not drinking all the Kool-Aid here like you should be, you know, in a loving way. It's hard to do some of this stuff in a loving way. It's hard to say, hey, Butch, grow your hair out better. Or, hey, Pansy Man, take your dress off and get a haircut. Because you don't want to sound like an over-fundamentalist guy, like one of the people, a Tennessee Temple Highland Park church guy from Chattanooga in the 70s and 80s. And if you're from Chattanooga, you know what I'm talking about. This was a school, and you had to wear khaki pants and have a buzz cut. I'm not joking. You weren't allowed to wear shorts on campus. Chattanooga gets hot. But I'm not saying find a happy medium. I'm saying there's people who take fundamentalism and how you dress to the extreme, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So that's the question Paul's asking the Corinthians. I'm trying to go back to exegesis here. That Paul's asking them is, hey, consider what is proper. Is it proper for a man to pray with his head covered with long hair? Is it proper for a woman to pray with her head uncovered, like short hair, shaved hair, looking like a prostitute? Is that right? I think the answer is no, that Paul's implying. And you know, he says, if we're going to be contentious about this, you know, what practice do we have in the church? So let's not be contentious about things which we might call personal holiness. I don't even know if I'd call this personal holiness. You might, but things about the order of creation. The order of creation is very important. And you can tell when it gets messed up. You start telling when the order of creation, going back to my opinion now, you see when the order of creation is messed up in people's romantic relationships. Not just things like cohabitation, but things like polyamory and homosexuality. You see that. The order of creation is getting messed up. You see the order of creation messed up when the woman is dragging her family to church and the man doesn't want to go and she's overbearing at home and he's in charge and he's not living up to his responsibilities. He's kind of metaphorically sitting there watching Eve eat the apple and not doing anything about it. Oh, look, it's okay to me. I see there's a snake around there. Oh, yeah, she goes to Bethmore. It's okay. I'm going to sit here in the man cave and play fantasy football. I mean, man up, guys. When you stop manning up, the order of creation is off. Same thing for women. Women, be a woman. You know what I mean, you listeners of this show, or else you're going to throw the order of creation off. Don't let anybody call you a fundamentalist or so. You're square, man. No, I mean, fundamentalist in a pejorative way. I hope you guys get what I'm saying. I'm trying my best not to be offensive or sounding quote-unquote pharisaical or quote-unquote legalistic. You know, I know those terms are bandied about, and I think they're often misused. But take back the church culture of your church. You can't take back the church culture of every church. You'll kill yourself running around trying to worry about how other people wear their hair and dress at other churches. But at your church, I think you have a responsibility to hold one another accountable. And you can start by being your own example. I'm not saying you can't wear jeans to church, okay? I'm saying when you do wear jeans to church, look nice. Don't look slovenly. Don't wear jeans that are too tight or full of holes. Full of holes is a purpose of style. If you're poor and you have holes in your clothes, that's different. By the way, if you're poor and you have holes in your clothes, why hasn't your church helped you to get new clothes? If you are that poor where your clothes are tattered, go ask the elders and say, can I have some clothes, please? I'm tattered. They don't want, the church isn't going to let you be naked. All right, by the way, don't be ashamed to ask. We're all there to help each other. Let's lift one another up and help each other. I mean, sometimes if you're the guy saying, get a haircut, they don't think you're lifting him up. Pay for the dude's haircut, man. Let's lift one another up in a loving way, bearing one another's burdens. It's a privilege to bear the burdens of the church. Didn't Jesus bear our burdens on the cross? Isn't the least we can do to bear the burdens of somebody else and call them to account and lovingly, you know, gather with them at the church to be more holy? I think it's a good thing. I try to tiptoe around it on the show because I don't want to sound like a mean old fundy. But don't be mean about it. But it's good. You don't let the emergent church culture rebound too far away or throw the baby out with the bathwater. I hope you get what I'm saying. All right, the SethDunn88@gmail.com inbox doesn't have any pressing questions. I've got some show topic suggestions in there that I might do later. So thank you guys for submitting those. Don't forget, when you have a question about theology or apologetics or a show topic suggestion, to send your submission in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. So now let's talk about today's show topic. But lost people are watching. Who's ever had somebody come to them, whether it be in real life or especially on social media, and say, you guys, you better watch what you're saying. You better watch arguing about church stuff because lost people are watching. We don't want to make it look like we have problems in the church, that we're not perfect because lost people are watching. We might keep them from getting saved or coming to church if we argue about something. Now, here's the thing. Don't violate Matthew 18 in any context, whether on social media or out in public. How do you violate Matthew 18? You start bickering with someone who's a member of your own local church about some perceived sin instead of going to them privately. All right. That's how you violate Matthew 18. Don't go around talking bad about people in a gossipy way to no end. Here's an example. Here's a gossipy way. Lord, forgive me for using gossip as an example. This is one of the things. I'm trying to say what gossip is, but I have to gossip to do it. So bear with me. Ronnie Floyd went to IHOP last year. President of the Southern Baptist Convention went to preach at IHOP, which is, I think it's a cult. It's an NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, bunch of crazies, okay? So Ronnie Floyd goes to their conference, partners with them. Bad mamma jamma mojo, okay? Bad stuff. He preached a sermon on prayer, and Ronnie Floyd is known as Ronnie Armani. That's his nickname. He usually wears really nice suits when he preaches in his church, but to go preach at IHOP, which is full of young NAR people, he didn't wear a suit. He wore jeans and this, like, vest, like the kind of vest you buy at the Gap I used to have one. I don't know. Kind of this hip clothing. So it would be gossip to say, I saw Ronnie Floyd preach in a vest, and he just didn't look right. It just didn't suit him. He ought to preach in a suit. There was something funny about that. That's gossiping. I'm just talking about somebody. It's not for his or the church's edification. I'm just talking about a famous person in front of everybody. If I tweet it out, Ronnie Floyd looks ridiculous in that vest. That's gossip. Okay, that's talking about somebody in a bad way. And yeah, if lost people are watching that, you're like, you're not any different than me. You're just gossiping about people too. What's different about you? You don't want to be a gossip. You don't want to be a diabolos. By the way, diabolos, slander, gossiper, that's the devil. That's what that diabolos, the devil, that's what he does. But what about something like this? Ronnie Floyd, I saw Ronnie Floyd go to IHOP and preach with that cult. He ought not have done that. That's not gossip. Ronnie Floyd's a public figure. I'm a Southern Baptist. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm making people aware that this is going on in our convention so we can correct it. All right, as an organization, for whoever wants to say, hey, let's not do this. Or somebody call Ronnie Floyd. Hey, Ronnie Floyd, don't do that anymore. All right? That was the purpose to an end, to say, hey, warning, guys, we're going off the rails here. Do you see the difference? Both of them, both of those examples, as I was talking about somebody, in the same context, I've talked about Ronnie Floyd going to IHOP. The one thing is me talking about how he's dressed, which is really inconsequential. But the other thing is me talking about the appropriateness of him being there. But whenever you start to, especially if it's a big-time muckety-muck, whenever you start to criticize a big-time Christian celebrity, denominational leader muckety-muck, somebody's going to come along and say, well, you know, boss people are watching. You know, you shouldn't do that. Hey, we need more financial control in the Southern Baptist Convention. Lost people are watching. Right, what are you doing? And I'm like, I know lost people are watching. Here's my thing. I always talk about it. I've been posting about it a lot for those of you who follow me on social media. I think the Southern Baptist Convention should eliminate the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. It costs $4 million. I think it's an unneeded and ineffective organization. And I think we should take that $4 million and send it to international missions, personally. That's my opinion. So I've been saying pink slip the ERLC. I think the leader of the ERLC is kind of a social progressive. I think he's kind of a social gospel type guy. Kind of a moderate Democrat. How about that? And I don't want to pay him a six-figure salary as a Southern Baptist. I don't think our convention... So I'm saying no more. Let's get rid of Russell Moore. Somebody, what if a lost person sees that? What if a lost person knows that I don't want my denomination to pay $4 million to a lobbying group, which in parentheses, one, they probably don't like because they're lost. I don't know. I don't think a lost person wants to waste $4 million either. Why would I? Here's the thing. It's don't upset the power structure. When people say, and whether they mean to or not, when people say, don't be critical in public of other Christians for any reason because lost people might be watching, you need... Were you telling me I need to look like smiling Joel Osteen all the time? Don't be critical in public. Lost people might be watching. What they're really saying is, hey, don't upset the apple cart. Don't mess with the status quo. Hey, this guy's the leader. You know, don't touch the leader. Don't put your hands on God's anointed. You know, don't touch this leader. Don't do that. That's bad. It'll mess up unity. You know, you'll throw a monkey wrench in the works. And they really just don't want anybody to mess or criticize Mr. Big Shot, okay? But what it comes down to is, oh, lost people are watching. And it's almost like people are brainwashed into thinking, what will lost people think? I don't think a lost person cares at all about my opinion, what I'm doing with my own denomination. That's none of his business. If I'm a lost person on my Facebook feed, oh, there's Seth saying something bad about Russell Moore again. Who cares? He's not interested in that. If I say something about football or politics, he might think, oh yeah, I'm going to engage with this. What does he care about the inner workings of my denomination? Let's say the lost person is in a motorcycle club, and I don't care about motorcycles. And he's talking about how people in his motorcycle club should drive BMW motorcycles because they're better crafted and Harleys are too loud. What do I care? I'm not paying attention to what he says about the motorcycle club. It's his club. I'm not interested in motorcycles. But here's how dissension is quelled by the power brokers and Christian celebrities who make millions off of eisegetical Beth Moore books or plainly heretical books like Rob Bell's book, Love Wins, any kind of thing like that, any kind of inappropriate thing, any kind of televangelist, it doesn't matter what they're doing, don't say anything public about it because that person claims Jesus, you can't say anything public, a lost person might see it. Don't you care about saving lost people? Yes, I care about saving lost people. You don't want to turn lost people away from the church? No, I don't want to turn lost people away from the church. I want lost people to come to church and hear the invitation and get saved. Well, then you better stop being critical about things related to Christendom. You can criticize anything else in the whole world, but don't ever criticize anything in the Christian culture from the evangelical and industrial complex, or you'll turn a lost person away. Oh, I better not. Some people actually believe that. They're brainwashed into doing it. So when they tell you, hey, Seth, or hey, so-and-so, a lost person might see that, and you're not doing anything wrong, they really think they're helping. Other people, and I think it's kind of like the people at the top are saying, oh, we'll create this culture where nobody always criticizes. This is how we insulate ourselves from criticism. It's a big red herring. What about the lost person? You mean the lost person that's utterly unconcerned with my opinion on the budget of NAM or something like that? North American Mission Board, that's what NAM is for you non-Southern Baptists listening. And I'm tired of it. And by the way, here's something I want to tell you. actually do sometimes engage with lost people if I talk about some Christian celebrity. Prime example, I made a friend, a real life friend who lives in Cartersville with me. He's a listener to the show. He's actually come to my Sunday school class before. He's a nice guy, a former Southern Baptist. Now he's a pantheist. And he contacted me. He said, "Hey, you live in Cartersville. I've heard your name. I've been paying attention to this Ergen Kaner story. You seem to be telling the truth about it and not trying to cover it up. Hey, let me talk to you." I've been able to witness to that guy. Why? Because he saw that I was being honest. So if you're a lost person or an atheist or unchristian, whatever you want to call them, if you're a non-Christian, if you're an unbeliever and you see Joel Osteen, smiling Joel Osteen, you say, "Boy, he's a fake. Why do Christians are stupid? Why do they buy into this?" And then you post an article that says, "Joel Osteen is a big phony." All right. What if I post an article that says, "Joel Osteen, big phony. Stay away from Joel Osteen. Quit promoting Joel Osteen, fellow Christians." That lost person might look and say, "Hey, that guy, hey, he notices too. Maybe I'll talk to him. Maybe he's one of those Christians with sense." You know? You ever heard of one of those Christians with sense? They don't watch TBN. They actually really believe what the Bible says and understand it. You can actually, by being critical of the evangelical industrial complex or some kind of Christian celebrity, you can actually, by being critical in a good way, in a non-sinful way, you can actually may be able to open up conversations with lost people who've been hurt by the church or turned away by something. But if you're just never critical, who are you? Do you know who's never critical? Smiling Joel Osteen. You know, I just delete the negativity. That's just trying to get me down. I'm just going to be positive and keep writing these heretical books that they're going to sell to everybody. And Christians won't say anything bad because they're worried, how would it look to a lost person to be critical? And lost people are going to look at me and say, what a wolf in sheep's clothing. I wish the Christians would clean their own house. Right? So listen to me. If this is resonating with you in your life, flip the switch right now. You're free. All right? From these people telling you, how's it going to look to the lost people? They're wrong-headed. Many of them may mean well, but all of them are a little wrong-headed. Now, if you're out there posting pictures of you watching NC-17 movies and posting... I got off in the wrong lane. If you're posting, I don't know, rap lyrics and stuff like that, with, you know, gangster rap lyrics or something, how's that going to look to lost person? And it's going to look like you're no different from them. That's exactly how that's going to look. Don't look like that. Somebody out there might really be saying something legitimate about your witness to lost people. But if you're being respectfully critical, I don't care if lost people see that. Neither should you. It might actually help you start a conversation with them in the rare event that they're interested. Well, I used to go to church, and then I just saw how people argued with one another, and nobody was ever happy, and so I stopped going. And you're just like all those people I left in church. You bunch of arguers. I never go back to church. I see how you talk about people. I'm not trying to make that person go to church. If they left church because of how other people were, they have Christianity all wrong. You go to church because of how Jesus is. All right? They can go back to whatever social club they want. If somebody is interested in social club Christianity, if they were in church long enough and heard the gospel over and over, but still bought into social club Christianity, I just got an awesome parking space at Walmart. If they were in church forever and heard the gospel over and over, but left church because of, I don't like people's attitudes, they're in social church, social club Christianity. So do not ever again put up with the, what are lost people going to think rebuke. Just forget about it. All right, let's go to the catechism. My dome lights are broken. I can't read it. It's been a while. I think we're on question... We're in the 80s, aren't we? I think we're in question 80. No, we're on question 79. What is the 10th commandment? The 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house,
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We might have already done that one, but we'll pick up there again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Merry Christmas, everybody. I won't be with you again before Christmas. So I hope you enjoyed spending your commutes with me this year. I enjoyed spending them with you. Have a wonderful Christmas time with your family. Enjoy church on Christmas, worshiping our Savior who was born on earth to the Virgin Mary, tempted in every way we are, a high priest who understands our shortcomings, but also did not sin in his temptation. Now sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our risen King, who joy to the world one day will come back. Amen, brothers. Amen. Thanks for listening to Christian Commute. God bless.
You have been listening to the Christian Commute. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Make sure to join Seth for another ride as he explores God's work and his kingdom.